to the book of 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read one verse and then we'll go a couple other places in the Bible. But we'll read this and you may be seated. I want to preach this morning with God's help on the battle for love. The battle for love. And let's all stand as we read this. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read one verse. That's verse 5. The battle for love this morning. Amen. Well, if you're there, say amen. Help me out. Amen. Good, good. Let's read it. Verse 5, chapter 2 of 1 John. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Father, we love thee. I pray now that you'd help me. I know that you don't have to have me. I'm aware of that, Lord, and I appreciate so much that you have helped me understand that. But God, I know that I have to have thee, and I appreciate maybe even more that you've helped me understand that. So God, if you don't help me this morning, I'm not going to be a blessing to your people for the glory of thee and for the sake of Jesus. I pray and plead for thy help. Father, place thy touch on me and use me for your glory this morning. I ask in the name that's above every other name. In Jesus Christ's precious, wonderful name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach on the battle for love, the battle for love, the battle for love. And why the battle for love? What's so important about love? Now, I'm not talking about the world's love. The world doesn't understand love. The world has lust. They don't know what real love is. Love is something that is very strong. It's a knit. It's a bond. It's a glue. I remember when I was a little boy, I'd go to Walmart and I'd say, Daddy, I'd like to get me one of them airplanes and put them together airplanes. They had 1,000 pieces. You know, you get home and one piece missing, it ruined the whole thing, you know. And you always have that little super glue in there, and while you're putting it together, whoever did that? Whoever put a model airplane together or something, yeah? We got a couple people, two people, three, four. We got four, five. Anybody else? Just five in here. Six. Okay, yeah. You know, we've had some people that did that. Or maybe you did a car, whatever. And we got some competition going on right now. We should open the door and preach to them. Amen. Let them hear us. Amen. But anyways, the car, you know, you'd get it and put it together with glue. You know, that's what love is. Love is a bond. Love holds everything else together. Love is even bigger than that. I'm going to show it to you this morning. I'm going to show you just how powerful and how important it is, love is, to the Lord and for us. Why the battle for love? Let me say this. I might not be able to use this. My chair's missing. That's what I need. I need a chair is what I need. Anybody got a chair? I got one. It's right here. I couldn't take it earlier because I had to sit here. You know? So I was like, well, if I move it now, I won't be able to sit at the stand. Everybody will be like, what's he standing for? Oh, man. We're just at home this morning. Amen. Just get comfortable. We've got. I know there's a message from heaven, and the devil's going to try to keep everybody from listening to it. I mean, that's a sure thing. Devil's going to try to keep. I mean, this is a. I don't know if I've preached a bigger message in my life. I don't know if I've ever preached a bigger message in my life. And the Lord just put this fresh and anew on me, too. But man, this is a powerful message. Let me tell you something. I've read statements where people say, your belief determines your behavior. I'm going to change that. I believe your love determines your behavior. I believe we see that from the Bible. Let me say it like this. Behavior because of love. Behavior because of love. Your behavior is because of your love. You do things because of love. There's a battle for love today. God wants your love. And the world wants your love. And when you love God, it changes you. When you allow your love to diminish, that changes you also. Let me say it like this. Love leads your life. Love will lead your life. Love is so strong that people do things out of the name of love that they would never ever do in their life. I remember growing up, and I hate to be, let me mention this, but I remember growing up, and when I was growing up, CMT was on the TV everywhere. I mean, CMT was huge when I was growing up. That's country music television. And I'm not a fan of it. You know, you rewind a country song, you get your wife back, your friend back, your dog back, and your job back. It's just a depressing song, you know. God's people need to be stirred up and not depressed. And but I remember one song that was real famous when I was growing up. And I don't know why, but it stayed in my head. And it's a song about love, about a girl growing up who rebelled against her mama. That's another reason why you shouldn't listen to that music. Amen. God help us. Rebelled against her mama and went off to marry some guy because of love. And she was going to marry that guy no matter what her mom and dad said. You know why? Because of love. Love is strong. That's what I'm saying. Love is strong. Love will determine your behavior. I've had people tell me, oh, I love my mama. I said, no, you don't. If you loved your mama, you'd make your bed. Don't tell me you love your mom and dad. If you loved your mom and dad, you wouldn't keep them up at night. I've met with people that's gone through some big situations in their home where they've committed awful sin, and they tell me, I love my wife. I say, no, you don't. If you loved your wife, you wouldn't be committing that adultery. Don't tell me you love someone if you're not showing it. Love is an action. Love is not words. Love is an action. For God so loved the world. Well, what did He do? He gave. He gave. He gave. Love is so important. There's a battle for love this morning. I want you to notice something, what Jesus says about love. And of course, during this week, people are thinking about love and hearts are going up everywhere. Valentine's Day just around the corner. By the way, my Valentine is Jesus Christ. Amen. Be my Valentine. Thank the Lord. He said that to me. He said, Josh, would you be mine? I said, absolutely, Lord. The greatest Valentine I've got is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you what Jesus said and stay with me. I believe this message will help change our lives in a great way. It's already working on me and I want God to keep helping me. I want you to look at Matthew. And I want you to go to chapter number 22. Chapter number 22. And I want you to look at what Jesus says about love. They asked Jesus what was the greatest commandments. You ready for this? The greatest commandments in all the Bible, Jesus says, has to do with love. Wow. The greatest commandments in all the Bible deal with love. Look at before verse 37, let's look at verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, verse 35, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt, say it with me, love. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus summed up every commandment on how you love God and love man. You realize there's a battle for love this morning? Love determines your behavior. Jesus said, let me tell you the greatest commandment ever mentioned, love the Lord thy God. Because if you love God, your actions will be obedient to everything you know about God. Every light you're given, every command you know you should follow, everything you've been given in the Bible, you'll have no problem saying yes to and obeying because your love determines your behavior. I'm going to tell you something. Your belief does not determine your behavior. There's people that believe God, believe the Bible, believe His words, and yet still do not obey. But love is a force that will drive us to obedience. The greatest commandments deal with love. Deal with love. He didn't say, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He didn't say that was the greatest commandment. Because God knows just because you believe in them, you still might make a little god. But if you love them, you obey them, and there will be no other gods before them. Love. Love is something that does not cease. Love has the good meaning of resting in, satisfied. You think about a spouse, and I hate to put, let's just make it real. I'm talking about low-level cookie jar type stuff. When a man loves a woman, he's found rest in her. He says, this is the one. He's satisfied and He loves her. This is my... And let me tell you, when you rest in God, when you say, He is all I need, when you place your love with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, you think about it, who you love is who you obey. It's interesting, if you look in Matthew chapter 4, we preached on this a few weeks back. Matthew chapter 4, the devil came to Jesus tempting Him. Just like He comes to you and me. Hello. Tempting us. And notice what the Bible says. Please hang in and listen good. Jesus was being tempted of the devil. And the Bible says in verse 9, that last temptation He gave, He said, "It saith unto him," in chapter 4, verse 8, "Again the devil taking them up into an exceeding high mountain to show them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." The devil said, "You fall down and worship me, I'll give you everything right now. You don't have to go through suffering. You don't have to go to Golgotha. You don't have to go to Calvary. Hey, I'll show you true love. God the Father doesn't love you like I would. I'm going to bypass the suffering if you'll fall down and worship me." And Jesus answers, then said Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." Now notice the end of that. The devil said nothing about serving. The devil just said, "Get down on your knees and worship me." Jesus said, "I'm not going to worship nor serve." And there's a reason why Jesus said that. Because who you worship is who you'll serve. Now let me bring it like this. Why didn't Jesus say the greatest commandment is to worship God? He said to love. Because let me tell you this. When you worship, you're loving with the heart. Affection. Adoration. If you love God, then you will serve God. And you can know that you love God because you have a heart of worship. That's why in Colossians chapter 3 it says, "Set your affections not on things here, but on things above." Your affections, your adoration, your heart. Love the Lord thy God. If you love God, you'll serve God. If you love something else, you're going to serve something else. Love leads life. It leads your life, leads your living, leads how you behave, how you handle life, how you obey God. Now here's how I want to really help you. I think we all agree that that's true this morning. Everybody understand? I mean, Jesus, He cleared it out when He said the greatest commandment is love the Lord thy God. There's no disputing that. Love is that important. It is that important. It's that important. It's the glue. It's the bond. It's what holds your walk with God. It's what makes you live like you should, even when you don't feel like it. Because you love Him. I love Jesus. I love Him. He's my all in all. Love it. Why the battle for love this morning? Because if you love God, you obey. And let me show you another verse in 1 John chapter 5. Look at this. This is a powerful verse. Powerful verse. People always want to talk about, well, there's so many commandments in the Bible. Jesus has so many things He wants us to do. Well, if you talk like that, you don't love Him. You don't love Him. Love is not lip service. If you act like the commandments of God are a grievous thing to follow, you don't know. You don't love them. Don't love them. I love my mama. I said, "Oh, really? You do?" Yeah. She wants me to go. I'm 21 years old. I remember a conversation I had with a man. I think he's 26, 27. He's living at home, just him and his mother. He said, "I love my mom," yet he stayed in bed every day of his life. Literally. I mean, I'm not saying he loafed around the house. I mean, he stayed in bed. I'm talking about he did not leave the covers every day of his life. He said, "I love my mother." I said, "If you love her, you'd go get a job and get out of bed and do something to help around the house. Don't give no lip service. Don't tell me you love her if you're not even getting out of bed. You don't love your mama." Love is not something you say, "Oh, I love God." But I can't, man, I feel like I'm in bond. I mean, just let me live the way I want to live. You don't love God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God. In other words, here's how you know you got love for God. For this is the love of God. This is how you know you love Him this morning. Here's how you know if you do. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. You say, I love God. You keep His commandments. This next week, as you buy your candy and you think about Valentine's and all that stuff, don't you forget that there's a God in heaven who loves you, gave His Son for you, and He wants your love. And your love is shown by the way you keep His commandments. They're not grievous. If you love God, you love serving God because you worship God. You have adoration to God. It's not a hard thing. It's not a grievous thing. It's a joy. It's a pleasure to serve God. I love Him. After all He's done for me, are you kidding? I love Him. He can never ask too much of me. Dr. Tom Williams, I heard him preaching one time on tape. He said, if I had 24 hours, 7 days a week, to stand on the street corner and say nothing but praises to God, I would die in debt to the praises of God, not showing good enough. There's just not one of us who could outdo what God's done to us. And for Him to ask of thee, it's not grievous, it's a blessing. It's a pleasure. There's nothing like serving a good master. Nothing like it. Nothing like obeying a good mom and dad that love you and give their time and give their love and affection towards a son and daughter. And boy, it's not grievous to obey the mom and dad in the home. Amen. I grew up with some good loving parents. It wasn't a hard thing for me to obey my parents. They loved me. It wasn't like, I can't believe I'm going to do this for this loving dad. All He's done for me, and He's wanting me just to come and sit beside Him in the living room tonight. I want to go to the bedroom. Why so hard? It's not a grievous thing to obey mom and dad in the home. It's not a grievous thing when you got, I tell you what, I've worked, I'm going to give you a little broadcast. Drury Inn & Suites in town, you ought to recommend everybody to it, because the general manager of Drury Inn & Suites here in Flagstaff, bar none, the greatest secular boss I've ever been around. It's unbelievable. I've never worked with somebody that showed compassion and love and hard work towards his employees. I used to work night audit, and if he looked at me and said, Josh, I need you for 4 straight weeks, night audit, no time off, could you do it for me? I said, you got it. It was not a grievous thing to serve him. I didn't come to work for me, I went to work for him. It wasn't a grievous thing for me to serve him. He was so kind. He rolled up his sleeves. He worked hard with me. He spent time. He would find him 5 o'clock in the morning in the kitchen helping biscuits get done. And he's the general manager of a nice hotel. I never met anyone like him. I'd do anything I wanted. If he had said, stay here a year, don't get a day off, I'd be, man, that's crazy, but okay. It's not hard serving a good master. And there's none good like the Lord. He's above the rest. It's not grievous. Now let me show you something this morning. There's a battle for this. I'm going to give you 2 statements and we'll be done. There's a battle for this. There's a battle for love. There's a battle for love. Statement number 1. Your love for God can grow. You know, when you get saved, love doesn't hit your heart and you're forever in love with God the right way. Everybody knows that. Say amen. That's why there's backsliding. That's why there's tempted and tried. That's why we have all that stuff happen. Oft made to wonder, you know. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, get it back. I lost my love. Let me say, number 1, you can gain love for God. Look what it says in the verse we read, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. The Bible says, but whoso keepeth his word. But whoso keepeth his word. But whoso keepeth his word in him. That's in him. In him. And this is verily to say, this is big. Don't miss it. In him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. First, I want to say you can have your love grow for God. The Bible says here that if we keep His Word, The love of God in us is perfected. The word perfected is a growth, it's a maturity. Let me say it like this. If you keep God's word, if you do the things that are right, you know what's going to start happening? You're going to start loving God more. What you feed grows. What you feed grows. People that read the Bible every day, they start to like it more and more every day. People that come to church and open their Bibles and got a pen, they think the message was unbelievable. You know? People that come and they give to God and they give thanks to God and they're yielding in what God has showed them. They're walking in the light as He is in the light. They're walking in the light. They begin to have love that grows. They begin to get excited about spiritual things. You can think about it yourself. You think about yourself, times in your Christian life, especially some of y'all been saved for a while, when you were in obedience, you were excited to obey Him, you were doing everything you knew possible, there seemed to be a zeal for God in such a way that maybe now you don't even have. But you, boy, you can remember, you go, man, I love the things of God. I love the spiritual things. I was so stirred up. I had Christian music on all the time in my house. And I talked about the things of God. I was in Bible studies during the week. There was something in me that just seemed to get bigger and bigger. I cried more about God. I sang to God. I had special times like that. Well, yeah, of course you do. Because listen, if you obey God and keep His Word and walk in the light, it begins to get bigger and bigger and bigger. What you feed grows. You know, if you got two dogs and one represents evil and one represents good, and what you throw the steak at is going to get bigger and whip the other. And we all have a Spirit of God living in us that are saved. If you're not saved, you don't have that. But if you're saved, you got the Spirit of God in you. And you got the old man, the nature, the sin nature also. And there's a battle going on. There's a battle. And love is so important. And if you'll walk with God and do what's right, you have love that begins to get bigger and bigger and bigger for the things of God. You enjoy the things of God more. Preacher says, I got 10 points this morning. You say, good, I need all 10 of them. Amen. Instead of saying, oh my goodness, 10 points is 8 too many. You can gain love in this. Let me say, number two, not only you can gain love for God, but number two, you can lose your love for God. You can lose your love for God. Let me show you 1 John chapter 2, the same chapter, verse 15. Love not the world. We've heard that before. Let's explain it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not, there it is again, in Him. Now this is a book written to believers, born again believers. These aren't lost people. So it's preaching to everyone that's saved. Now understand this. This is what God says. And first let's ask this question, understand this. It says, love not the world, any things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. First you got to say, what does that mean? The love of the Father is not in him. Does that mean God's love comes out of a man because he begins to live in the world? No, that don't make any sense. It's talking about what verse 5 was talking about. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. As you walk in the light and obey God, your love grows. But you can also lose your love. When a man begins to turn, or a woman begins to turn her love, her affection, her adoration towards the things of this world, well, the love of God, the things that were spiritual that they enjoyed, begins to diminish. You begin to lose it. The love of God is not in you. You're losing the desire you once had for spiritual things. That's why there's people that one day used to love going to church. 6 years down the road, they don't even want to go to church anymore. You say, well, what happened to you? You used to love it, but now you don't even care. Well, I'll tell you what happened. They began to lose the battle for love and put their affection on things of the world. Now, what is the world? Man's always trying to figure that out. I'll give you a simple definition of the world. Number one, the world are things that oppose God. Things in this world that oppose God. The world, when here defined, things that oppose God, that oppose Him. I'll give you another definition. Not only things that oppose God, things in this world that oppose God, but number two, the world is anything in this world trying to take the place of God. Anything in this world trying to take the place of God. Don't love it. Don't love it. Don't love it. And let me tell you something. You might like sports, but if you start loving sports, you'll start losing the love of God. Sports is trying to take the place of God. Now, you might enjoy playing. We know that from the Bible, that Paul uses the illustration of running and racing. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with sports activities, the team it builds, the communication it builds, the hard work it builds. It's a good activity. I mean, it's definitely better than sitting on the sofa doing a bunch of nothing. It's good. I have some great values I learned from coaches and great values from team members and players. But let me tell you something. When I start loving the world's sports and I begin to have affection towards it, then my love for God loses and I begin to have it diminish. And then the things of this world are more interesting to me than the things of God. Yeah. I don't believe any man should ever love hunting. Or a woman, for that matter. I believe it's a great blessing and privilege that God has given us that we can, during elk season, get an elk to stock up our freezer for a whole year of meat. Praise God. Isn't that a blessing? I'm praying I get my tag this year because that's some good meat and good savings. Amen. I don't kill for the fun of it. No Christ-honoring man should kill for fun. Amen. The Creator has given us this world and we are to be great stewards of it and show the love of God. But we are also to be very wise. And man, I can tell you what, God has given me the opportunity. If I can kill an elk, I'm going to do it. But I'm going to tell you something. No man or woman should love hunting. When that begins to take the place of God, you're loving the world. Nothing should take the place of God in your life. And when you begin to desire and dream about things, that's why there's men that once loved the Bible, but now they don't read it that much because they've allowed their love to get off God and it's diminished. The more, hey, listen, the more you love the world, the more you lose your love. There's a battle going on. I mean, make me want to have an old-fashioned fit up here. Amen. You know? So you wake up on Monday. You say, I don't want to read my Bible. Well, read it. You know, character is doing what you don't want to do. Character is doing what you don't want to do. If we read the Bible every time we felt like reading the Bible, we'd get more and more away from it because this world makes us lose that desire. I just read the Bible when I really want to. Well, okay, have fun. God will hear from you once in a blue moon when you're going through trouble. Because spiritual desires begin to lose as we love this world. So what you do on Monday morning? There's a battle. There's a battle. So what you do is you say, well, I'm going to read my Bible even though I don't feel like it. I'm going to make myself chew on the blessed Word of God and spiritual things so I can start feeding the Spirit. And then Tuesday you get up and you say, man, I still don't want to read it. I'd rather watch the news or get on Facebook. I'm not against Facebook. I got Facebook, but we need to get our face in the book. You know how it is. We look at Facebook before we get in the Bible. You know what? I'm going to push Facebook away and Yahoo front page. Don't go. I think Yahoo front page is evil. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Evil. I felt good just saying that. Man, it gets your mind and all kinds of things you don't need to be thinking about. Headlines. Oh my God. Oh, that happened. Oh my goodness. You know, get off it. You know what you do though? You got to make yourself push aside and get your Bible, open up a Psalm. Open up the book and read. And then Wednesday, there's a battle going on. You know what? It might get a little easier. Wednesday, you go, you know what? That felt good Monday and Tuesday. It didn't feel good while I did it, but now I feel good that I did do it. You know the old saying, you don't come to church because it feels good. You go to church and then you feel good for doing what you should do. And so Wednesday, man, it gets a little bit better. Thursday, it gets a little bit easier. Friday, man, you're enjoying what you're reading. The Bible says, "Oh, how I love thy law." You ever read that verse, Psalm 119? It says, "Oh, how I love thy law." You know, the next phrase is, "It is my meditation all the day long." That verse is not speaking, his love made him get in it all day long. No, no. It's saying because he's been in it all day long, oh, how he loves it. You know, the more you chew on it, the more you'll like it. The more you say yes to the things of God, the more your love will grow. The more you enjoy the things of God and walk in the light, the more there's a battle going on. And sometimes you just got to have old-fashioned character and make yourself do what you should do, even though you don't want to. And then one day, it's going to get easier. You're going to like it. You're going to get excited. See, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all can think in your mind when you were saved. I mean, not when you're saved, but some of you can think in your mind days of your Christian life to where everything was just sunny side up. The Bible was alive. You were so stirred up about it. Well, no wonder you were. You were in it. You loved preaching. You loved singing songs. Well, no wonder you loved it. You were doing it. But now, it's not the same. You know why? Because there's a battle for love. You've allowed your love to go to the world. You've allowed your affection to get to the world. There's a battle going on. Monday, read your Bible. If you miss it on Tuesday, get back in it Wednesday. There's a battle. There's a constant battle going on. A constant feeding battle going on. You've got to make yourself do it. You've got to read your Bible. You've got to pray. There's a song we teach with children. And man, it is what God is saying right here. It goes like this. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. And we always have children do like this too. They're sitting down when they start. Read your Bible. Pray every day. And you'll grow. 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 And you'll grow. 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 And you'll grow. 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 Read your Bible. Pray every day. And you'll grow. 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 Neglect your Bible. Forget to pray. Forget to pray. As I said he would say, forget to pray. Neglect your Bible. Forget to pray. And you shrink, shrink, shrink. And you shrink, shrink, shrink. And you shrink, shrink, shrink. That's Christian life. That's Christian life. Man, why is he on fire for God? I'll tell you why. Because he is allowing his love to win the battle for the things of God. He loves God and he loves the things of God. And she loves God and she loves the things of God. And that's why they're obedient to God. And if we'll love God, it will change our life. Love leads our life. You say, man, I want that. I don't want to be living like this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to drink this or go here or do that. I want to keep my purity. I want these things. I want a life that's right for God. Well, then you've got to do the things of God to have the love you need. Because love leads your behavior. Love is so important. And the love of God is perfected to those that do right. But those that love the world, they lose the battle. Neither is the love of God in them. By the way, it's worth doing it. You know, the rest of that verse says this, for all that is in the world. I mean, why do you want to love the world anyways? Here's what's in it. The lust of the flesh, pride of life. I mean, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. There are things you can do for God that's going to live on forever. My preacher used to say when I was attending Shenandoah Baptist Church, Brother Steve Grubbs, he'd preach, he'd say, God's a good coupon collector. He's a good bookkeeper. And as you serve God now and you do the things you ought to now, that will last forever with rewards in heaven. But if you live for this world, the world passes away. And so does all your deeds. They're gone. It's so much better to live for God. Love God and not this world. There's a battle this morning. There's a battle raging in you. And if you'll let God have the victory, you'll love Him more tomorrow than you love Him today. You can be excited again. There might be someone, you've lost it, but you can again. You can cry again. You can get stirred up again. You can say, oh man, what a great song. Sing it again. You can say, boy, that's good preaching. I need that. You can again open the Bible and read and your heart pound in your breast. I can think of times right now where I've read the Bible and while I was reading it, the hair stood up on the back of my neck. My heart began to pound and tears come down. I can think about times when I've been on my knees praying and boy, it just seemed like I was right there, right beside God the Father. I was at heaven's door. Man, heaven was coming down. You can do that again. You can have that. You can be zealous for Jesus if you'll win the battle. And you'll say yes to the things of the Spirit, not of the world. Let's pray. All heads bowed, eyes are closed. If you love God, you obey God. If you obey God, your love grows. How about that? If you love the world, you lose the love for God. It begins to grow dim. You can gain, you can win your love for God, or you can lose your love for God. Read your Bible every day and pray, 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 and you'll grow, grow, grow. Neglect it and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. All heads bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to have the piano in a moment.